We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.
Osterfreude für alle zum Aldi-Preis. Milka großer Schmunzelhase ab 90 Gramm für nur 1,29 Euro. Oder Philadelphia Frischkäse ab 150 Gramm für nur 89 Cent. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
If you're a hunter in Tennessee, consider this episode a warning. There's something in the North Cumberland Mountains that looks like a woman, but is not human. Welcome back to Unexplained Encounters. I'm your host, Darkness Prevails, and today I've got a collection of creepy true stories from listeners featuring mountain monsters, deadly demons, and terrifying toys. If you want to hear your true story of the unexplained on this show, send it to me at darkstories.org. And also, real quick, wherever you're listening, leave a follow, like, and rating. Thank you. Now, let's begin. The Fox and the Lady, from A. Hedrick, 31. I don't know how exactly to put this story into words, so I'm just going to start writing and see where it goes. First off, I'd like to say that I am a Christian, and I believe that when a person dies, they either go to heaven or hell, depending on if they are saved or not. The reason I say this is because this story is going to cover a topic that contradicts the way I believe, but it's something that I do not have an explanation for, no matter how hard I've looked for one. I grew up hunting and exploring the mountains of East Tennessee with my father and two younger brothers. Some of my earliest memories are of my father and I walking through the woods before daylight to one of our hunting spots, traversing the steep and wild terrain of the North Cumberland Mountains. To us, the hunt wasn't about killing the biggest buck or having the flashiest hunting gear. It was about spending quality time with each other in the same country our ancestors had hunted many years ago. One of my dad's rules was that we would always hunt within a couple hundred yards of each other, up until I was about 12 years old. Those mountains are rugged, and anything could happen. Plus, there wasn't a lick of phone signal within 20 miles of where we were. If something were to happen, you would be on your own. My dad always taught us how to move through the woods, so by the time I was 12 years old, I was already a pretty capable woodsman. As time went on, my middle brother and I began to break off from hunting with our dad and struck out on our own. One particular evening, my brother and I decided that we wanted to go hunting the following day. We decided that we would go to a spot that we were very familiar with, because we would have to leave that evening to make it to one of our friends' houses for a bonfire. The morning of the hunt, we woke up around 5 a.m., loading the truck with our rifles, ammunition, and what little bit of hunting gear we were bringing. It was the month of December, and it was frigid cold that morning. We arrived at the top of the mountain in the truck around 6:30 a.m., where we would get a quick game plan together before entering the woods. We decided that my brother would enter the woods on the southwest side of the road and walk about a mile and a half along the spine of the ridge, where he would then drop off of the mountain on the south side and walk about 100 yards to his spot. I was going to enter the woods on the northeast side of the road and travel about a mile along the spine of the ridge, then drop off at the north side into a deep holler, then travel in the same direction for another mile or so until I came to a stand of small pine trees, where I would sit and watch a stream that meandered down the holler and out of sight. During the walk to my hunting spot, I noticed how quiet the woods were this early in the morning. There's nothing more peaceful, in my opinion, than being alone in the mountains while everything is so still and the wilderness is still asleep. The only sounds I could hear at the time were my own footsteps and the occasional deep breath I would take while traversing the steep and rugged terrain. I made it to the stand of small pines before daybreak and raked the leaves away to bare ground where I planned to sit so that I wouldn't spook any animals when and if I were to move. I leaned my rifle against a tree to my left and got settled in, watching the sunrise above the crest of the mountain. I listened as the woods slowly came to life. It was a beautiful sight. After about an hour of watching the birds and squirrels play in the warm rays of sunshine poking through the trees, I noticed a red fox trotting down the ridge in a straight line towards me. I figured that once the fox spotted me, it would turn and hightail it the other way, but to my surprise, it walked right up to about 6 feet away from me and stopped. It began to stand up on its hind legs, then drop back down to all fours. And it did this over and over again, but in a slow and methodical way. I was taken aback by this. Foxes usually avoid humans at all costs. After about a minute of this strange fox encounter, it turned and trotted down the stream in front of me until it disappeared. I was shocked by what I'd just witnessed, but I wasn't the least bit scared. I thought that maybe it had never seen a human before and was curious as to what kind of creature I was. A few hours had passed and I hadn't seen anything except the fox. Maybe a few birds and squirrels too. So I decided I would close my eyes for a few minutes and just rest. I fell into a light slumber for about 15 minutes before I woke up to a strange sound, or should I say a lack thereof. The sudden silence of the woods had awakened me. There wasn't a single sound to be heard, not the song of a bird, nor the whisper of the wind. As I looked around, wondering what could have caused this sudden silence, I couldn't help but feel a sense of dread. I felt as though I was being watched from every side of my being. All of a sudden, as I scanned back down the stream at which I'd been looking not 1 minute ago, I saw something that I thought had to be a trick of my eyes. There on the bank of the stream, about 40 yards away from me, stood a woman. She was dressed in a long, almost translucent white dress. She had long gray hair, and what I could see of her hands and feet, they were grayish white in color. She was barefoot, half bent down with her left hand in the stream. I was frozen, not moving an inch, and I'm not sure that I even took a breath in that moment. I sat there in that stand of pines as quiet as a mouse. I watched her for what seemed like an hour straight, but maybe it was only 5 minutes or so. Suddenly, she stood up, turned to her left, and looked directly at me. She had eyes as black as coal, and a long, thin face with sunken-in cheeks. Her face gave no expression. After she stared at me for about 2 minutes, she turned and walked away from me down the stream until she turned to the right and went behind a ridgeline out of sight. I sat still, afraid to move for another hour. I eventually worked up the courage to stand up and go investigate. It was probably a woman who's been camping in the area, I told myself. I don't have anything to be scared of. I slowly made my way down to the stream where she'd been, while being quiet, so that I wouldn't alert her if she was still in the area. I made it to the spot at which she had been, and I began to search the bank of the stream for footprints. It was a soft, muddy slope where she had been standing, so she should have made some sort of impression. But there wasn't a trace, to my surprise, not a single track or fingerprint in the mud. I followed the path she had taken when she'd left, and once again found no evidence of her existence. I decided that it was in my best interest to make the trip back to the truck, for I hadn't the slightest idea of what I'd just seen. On the way back, I would tell myself that it was a trick of the mind, and that supernatural beings do not exist. But I just could not for the life of me shake that feeling of dread. I made it back to the truck, and I sat there for a while, waiting on my brother to make it back out. When he got back, and he began to load his rifle into the truck, I didn't say much of anything at all. I didn't know how to, or if I should even say anything. We did have a short conversation about the day's hunt, and when he asked me, "Did you see anything?" I replied, "Nope, not a thing." That was the gist of most of the conversation on the way to our friend's place. I didn't say a word about that day for a few years, but I eventually told the story to a few family members, including my brother. It has now become a tradition to tell the story around the campfire at the annual family camping trip. I still to this day am uncertain as to what exactly I saw. But one thing is for sure, it wasn't natural. I've accepted the fact that the world is not black and white, and there are things that we just cannot explain. I believe some things are just better left alone because honestly, we don't all need to know the truth. The possessed toy that stared at me while I slept. From the Ungrateful Dead. A quick side note before I begin. I'm so happy with my previous story, the one about the Father and Son Lake UFO, that I decided to share my second event, something that is brutal to my psyche even now. So allow me to explain. This is my most frightening encounter and my third strange encounter ever. This happened at the same place and age as my previous story, but is somewhat short. Now let's get into it. When I was 8 years old, my aunt came over for my birthday and brought me a small stuffed dog toy. This was ordinary, as she would always bring over something along the lines of a toy, stuffed, random, useless. And that dog toy fit in those lines perfectly. So at the age of 8, I didn't really want the toy, but I accepted it, like a normal kid would, hamming it up and thanking my aunt for the gift. At the time, I put the toy on my desk, which is across from where my bed was. So the toy would be facing me while I was sleeping, just sitting there as I liked it to be. Now allow me to describe the toy. The outer parts of the toy were pretty basic, a toy dog. But the inside was only composed of plush, no wire or anything else inside. Also, the toy had hair around its eyes, not going into or in any direction around it, but trimmed so its eyes were fully visible. As I got older, the dog would sit and watch me grow over the years, until I reached the age of 12 and decided, hey, let's rearrange this place. Really, the only major change I made was that my bed was now beside the desk that the toy sat on. So for about a month, I slept there. But one night, something changed. It was like something had flipped a switch. The dog that once had been ignored on my desk, for the first time in 4 years, got my attention. I remember walking in my room the first day, and halfway through the room, I just stopped. There was this sense of dread that came over me as I stood there. I turned and looked at the toy. It was looking like it always did in the same direction as usual, but there was something different. I leaned in real close and looked at it, not touching it but examining it thoroughly. I didn't see anything different, and I was about to walk away, but as I leaned back, I saw it. Its eyes were almost completely clogged out by hair, the same hair that was somehow longer than the rest of its hair. But when I first got it, as I mentioned earlier, the hair was shorter than the rest. I pulled away, freaked out by this weird, growing hair from a children's toy, and I left the room. This memory would linger in my mind, occurring mostly late at night, until the main event occurred. About a week later, I went to bed and fell asleep after about half an hour of laying there. I was kind of an insomniac at the time, so this was really good timing for me. But around 2 a.m, I woke up. I wasn't startled awake or anything like that. It was like I just woke up early. As I turned over in my bed to check my phone for what time it was 2 a.m., I saw the toy dog on my shelf. But this time, it was different than all the other times I'd seen it. Its body was facing the wall where my bed used to be, but its head was turned around a good 90 degrees and downwards to face my head where it was now. Its shaggy, overgrown eyes gave it this strange look that should never be affiliated with a children's toy. An overwhelming sense of fear washed over me. I froze in place in an instant, scared to move away from this strange thing. Toy? Is that really what it was still? I didn't know what to call it at that point. For about 3 weeks after that, I was so scared that I didn't even touch it. And it sat there, staring at my bed with its unnatural hair growth and twisted head, until I'd had enough. I walked into my room and stood in front of it for 2 full minutes before grabbing its neck and twisting it away from me. It bounced back into its original good position again, like it had never happened. This memory will haunt me forever, and I don't know what was going on, if that toy was haunted or possessed, if there was something attached to it that did not like me having it. Or maybe the toy itself simply wanted attention. I don't know. I still have the toy dog, and its hair still seems to get longer and longer every time I look at it. That's why I put this story under Mysterious Creatures. Because if it was possessed, it would have felt different, right? I've seen possession-type things. No, I think this category fits it more nicely.
Hey guys, it's Andrew from the Scary Mysteries Podcast, where every single week we dive into insane and creepy true crime compilations, as well as cover the most terrifying and strange news stories currently happening all around the world. As a true crime fan myself, we're covering all the topics you want to hear about. Missing persons, murders, poltergeists, UFOs, cryptids, and everything in between. I promise never to waste your time with any fluff or fillers in there. We just get straight into all the dark and scary insights to try and understand this strange world we all live in together. If you like true crime, then you're going to love us. So go check out the Scary Mysteries Podcast right now. I'll see you over there.
My Two Haunted Houses, from Triple Backflip 06. I've got a few unexplained experiences I'd like to share. For a bit of background, my parents divorced when I was younger, and one thing led to another and they ended up living right next door to each other, in the sense that the houses shared the same roof, same veranda, same driveway, but are still technically two separate houses. I'll start with the earliest experiences and end with the more recent ones. When I was around 10 or 11 years old, the after-school routine was that I would be dropped off at home by the bus at around 3:30 after school, and I'd be home alone until 4:30, when my mom would get back from work. I would usually take the time to gorge on all the junk foods in the cabinets and watch TV. One afternoon, as I was inhaling some chips, I think it was around 4 p.m., I heard the fly screen back door open, and then I heard my mom's voice, even though she wouldn't be home for another half an hour.
A, open the door.
I sat right up in my bed, earning a startled look from my cat who had just gotten settled. Mom? I called back, getting ready to go and answer the door for her. No response. I paused, confused that she hadn't answered me back. I stood up and walked over to the window to see if she was there. Nothing. I stood there, confused for a moment, before sitting back down on my bed and resuming whatever I was doing. But a few minutes later, I heard her voice again, but this time it sounded like she was distant or trying to talk underwater.
Hey.
I paused, confused again as to why she had sounded so strange. I tried to play it back in my head, but it had happened so quickly that it was hard to bring back. I walked over to the window and looked out, but there was still nothing. I grabbed my chips and the cat and decided to relocate myself to the living room, which is further away from the back door. Nothing else notable happened that day. The next story is one from my dad's house, later that same year. For more context, I'm only with my dad every Wednesday and every second weekend. And since my dad worked an hour away, he would take a while to get home. So I would be home alone until 6 after school. I stepped off the bus on one of these Wednesdays, right away noticing the heaviness in the air that wasn't usually present. I walked up the stairs to my house, maybe a bit quicker than necessary, as I'm quite easy to spook. I shut the front door after opening it and stepped inside. I walked down the hallway, dumping my bag by the door. I sat down on the floor of my bedroom, relishing for a moment at being at home before turning on my iPad to watch something while I draw. At around 4:30, I remember this as I checked the time after the encounter. I heard footsteps walking up to my bedroom window. They were heavy and bipedal, making a crunching sound against the gravel. The footsteps stopped in front of my window. I wasn't alarmed at first, just bewildered, as I thought my dad was back from work early and was maybe trying to scare me.
"Hey,"
I heard him call out. He didn't sound weird or anything, just his comforting accent and playful voice. "Dad?" I called back. I paused my show and stood up, preparing to pull the curtains back to look outside. There was no response. Just as I was about to pull back the curtains, the window began to shake violently. I stepped back, surprised. How was he shaking the window like that? Our house is old, and our windows are sealed tightly into the walls, but somehow he was shaking them quite violently. Then, just like that, the shaking stopped. And when I did finally look out, no one was there. I looked around out my window for a moment, still confused, now a little creeped out. But I merely shrugged and went back to watching my show until my dad got back. Fast forward around 1 to 2 years, to when I was 12. From the ages of 12 to 13, there was a lot of tension at my dad's house, as he had made changes to my room without my permission. And I won't go into it as it's not too relevant. Because of this, though, I rebelled and refused to sleep in my new room, which had always given me a bad vibe. So instead, I slept in the studio on the spare bed. To add some context, you had to go through a door between the kitchen and old bedroom, and you'd enter a more outdoorsy type space, which had the bathroom and laundry in it. At the back of this room, there was the door to the studio. So back to the story. I'd been lying in bed for ages, unable to fall asleep, due to the two possums on or in the roof who were fighting each other. Either that or having a really good time, if you know what I'm saying. I lay there, staring at the ceiling as I waited for my eyelids to start drooping, when my ears fixated on a sound. The sound of joints popping. I froze. Suddenly very alert, as I heard slow, dragging footsteps walk slowly up to the studio windows. I was suddenly very glad that the curtains were closed, as my eyes remained fixated on the sound, my ears deaf to the possums. I could see a humanoid silhouette through the curtains. The worst part was that I could hear it breathing, slow and raspy breaths that sounded like someone with pneumonia who had been smoking for 50 years was breathing through their mouth. I was still, eyes wide, and fixated on the shape. I was too scared to notice the possums had gone quiet. There was the sound again of popping joints as the figure raised its hand and placed it on the window. I wanted to pull the covers above my head so bad. I wanted to scream and cry, but I also didn't want the thing outside to know I knew it was there. I heard more popping as it began to tap on the glass, and then I thought I heard it speak.
"Help. I need help."
It was raspy and inhuman, making my skin crawl and my hair stand up on end. It groaned again, this time softer. The cracking sound returned. The heavy breathing was still audible as the figure drew back its hand from the glass, and I heard its dragging footsteps getting further and further away. Soon, it was completely gone, and the possums resumed their business. I honestly do not know how I fell asleep that night, but I did. The next morning at breakfast, I tried to tell my dad what happened, but he merely grinned at me and made a joke, clearly disbelieving the experience as just a dream. I had been hoping to never experience something like that again. But unfortunately, that wasn't the end of it. This experience is more recent, only a few months ago at the time of writing this. It was around a year after the last experience and was a warm summer night at about 7 p.m. My mom had let her cat, Savannah, outside a few hours before, and she had been hiding under the house ever since, stubbornly refusing to come out. My friend S and I were trying to coax her out with treats, but to no avail. "Savannah!" S called out, shining her phone light between the wooden planks to try and catch my cat's eyeshine. "Savannah! Treat!" I said, trying to sound tempting. I could see my cat's white form crouching to the back of the space. She meowed defiantly. Savannah is a Siamese cat, and they're a very local breed. Eventually, we managed to pull the cat out from under the house, and S carried her up into the house, jokingly telling her off in a baby voice. I didn't follow, though. But looking back on it, I wish with every fiber in my body that I had. I continued to crouch in the garden, shining my phone light around the underneath of my house between the wooden planks, interested to see what else was under there, when the light caught on two eyes. They were small, reflecting red. I froze, startled but not yet scared. I assumed at first it was a possum, but then again, possums didn't really go under our houses. They're usually in the roof, and these eyes were too small for even that, and too high off the ground. There was a rumbling noise then, like thunder, coming from under my house. It was then I stood up and bolted back inside my house to my friends, shutting the door as casually as I could. The rest of the night went on without incident. I'm thankful for that. And I haven't seen the thing since. But what really creeped me out is a few weeks ago, my dad called me up to tell me that while he was walking through the doors of my old bedroom, the same one where I heard his voice, he heard a woman's voice say, "Hello," in a quiet, casual way. He told me with a sort of childlike excitement that he had greeted it back and gone back to what he was doing. His experience caused me to think about my own, but I didn't share them with him. And that's it. If you have any idea as to what might be going on, let me know. I live in Australia, if that helps. Stay safe. The Glowing Hours, from Mr. Rosengrim. I'm going to start by telling you that I've always believed in the supernatural, and through my childhood, I've seen unexplained things that can sometimes be considered hauntings. But what happened to me during the summer of 2014 is the definition of supernatural activity. I was in my second year of high school, enjoying the last time left of our summer vacation, which in Sweden is 10 weeks long. So I landed in that state when you actually miss school, miss your friends, and all that. I've been sleeping oddly bad for a teenager, especially on a holiday. But it wasn't just getting enough shut-eye. No, the peculiar thing was the pattern. I would go to bed around 11 to 12 a.m. and wake up three times during the night. First time, 3:15. Next time, 6:25, and finally, 9:55, 5 minutes before my alarm. This happened to me around 2 to 3 weeks, and of course it bugged me. I tried everything in my power to figure out what was causing these odd sleep patterns. I tried setting my alarm to just before I would wake up, but I would always wake up at the same time, 3:15, 6:25, and 9:55. I tried going to bed later and earlier. I even tried to stay up the whole night, but nothing worked. The oddest thing, though, wasn't that I, for some unexplained reason, woke up these odd hours. No, it was the feeling right after when I opened my eyes. That feeling of total defenselessness, like I was a wounded deer surrounded by a pack of wolves, that crept closer and closer with every breath I took. This feeling of being completely defenseless, mixed with a feeling of shame, like I stood naked in front of millions of people, and they saw through me every last thing, secrets, flaws, and all my little awkward and ashamed moments, thoughts, and feelings. That feeling was the strangest. All of it mixed up in a pile in my stomach. But only for a few microseconds before my eyes adjusted to the dark. Then it was gone, like it never happened. I would have just discarded the feelings, but it happened every time I woke up. I tried to speak with my father about it, but he, who has always been a critic of everything, just assumed it was because of me sleeping at bad times and stuff like that. And I actually went along with it, because if you're in a situation when weird things happen, unexplainable things even, then the mind desperately reaches for an explanation. Why live in a world full of danger and fear when you can live in one where everything is great? Oddly, after the little chat with my dad, it stopped. I didn't wake up in the middle of the night, nor feel the same mixture of feelings again. And actually, I went with the explanation that he gave me, that I was just sleeping weird or at bad times and stuff like that. This kept on going for a few days, until it happened. I remember the day perfectly, like it was a nail slammed into my mind. It was an ordinary day. The day before, me, my twin brother, and a few friends were going to the city for a few days in some Orthodox camp, where there would be a lot of speakers talking about all sorts of things. So, with the weather being nice, we decided to head there and receive some new knowledge. We would leave early the next day, and someone who has never been able to sleep in a car thought a good night's rest would help me along, and I went to bed around 9 p.m. I remember falling asleep quite early, and I thought to myself how great all this is going to be, but that was before I woke up. There was sweat dripping from my back. My head was pounding like my brain was trying to break out of my skull. And that darn feeling again. Defenselessness and shame. But now also the feeling of being watched. Like the walls themselves were staring at me. I was thinking, I've been sleeping fine for days now, and this decides to happen tonight? I opened my eyes and automatically drew my view to the door. There was someone standing in front of my door, with their back to me. A weird bluish glow was illuminating the room, and the person was extremely thin. They weren't wearing a shirt nor shoes, just a pair of worn gray sweatpants. Their back was bent, and I could see the spine and vertebrae almost piercing through the skin. The person was just standing there, staring into the door. In my sleepy state, I lifted my head from my pillow and called out, "Hey, get out of here!" Then he turned towards me. I saw it was a man, an old man. His face was pale with eyes, tired and blank. The top of his head had this bald spot, but other than that, his head was covered in long, grown hair. His arms that were hanging by his sides were as thin as the rest of him. He looked at me, but more as a blind man looked at no one. Our eyes locked for a few seconds before he gently turned around and simply vanished. I don't know if he opened the door and went through it, or just vanished like that. And he took with him that weird bluish glow. I dropped my head on the pillow and closed my eyes. I don't know if I woke up or simply just opened my eyes, but I flew up in my bed and yelled out into the darkness, "What the heck was that?" I couldn't fall asleep after that. I didn't want to. I sat staring at the door the rest of the night, hoping he didn't come back. Fast forward to the day we arrived at the camp. It was the evening after. We checked into the hotel we were going to spend our nights in. We got three rooms, one of which went to me and my brother, and it was the biggest. It had a huge twin bed in the middle of the room facing the window, and the bathroom was big too, shaped like a rectangle with a shower on the far end of the room. This is important because of what happened before we were about to get something to eat. I decided to take a quick shower before I spent 6 hours inside of a car and the rest of the time in the hot sun. The shower was well needed, just what I needed to clear my head. Afterwards, I did the usual. I dried myself, but that was when I realized the light in the bathroom was no longer on. It wasn't like it shut off and I was standing in complete darkness. It was more like I was staring at the light switch, which was off. But the room wasn't dark. In fact, it was glowing like a candle, but bluish. I turned around with the towel around my waist, and there he was, standing behind the half-open shower curtains, staring at me. He was standing behind it, peeking through, like a kid trying to scare someone. He did not talk nor move. He didn't do anything but stare with his mouth half-opened. At first, I thought I was frozen in place, like I couldn't move. But that was until the shower curtains moved aside a bit. Not much, just a few inches. If I would be in any other situation, I would discard it as the hangers acting up or a light breeze. But now, standing face to face with my own freaking nightmare clearly awake, I realized he must be more than my own imagination, something that my mind did not make up. And when those shower curtains moved, I didn't hesitate to turn around and leap at the door handle, throwing that door open like my life was being threatened. I didn't go back inside the whole night. Well, while that really did freak me out, a person still has to eat. So we went to the closest open food place there was, which in this case was a McDonald's. I'm not the biggest fan of fast food in general, so I had to swallow my pride and eat a burger. We sat by a small table. There weren't a lot of people in there, just one or two tables at most. We were having one of our famous conversations about absolutely nothing, and I was in the middle of explaining why my cause was the best one, like a debate. But I couldn't concentrate, because every time someone else would speak, a weird muffled voice from the back of the room would speak along with them. But really quiet. I couldn't figure out what they were saying, but it always spoke when someone else spoke. I couldn't concentrate on the subject at hand, because that darn voice was mumbling. Eventually, I couldn't take it anymore, and I screamed, "Shut up!" The whole place went silent, and I just sat there, staring blankly out into space, ashamed of my own voice. My friends already knew about my little incident in the bathroom, so they knew something was wrong. Eventually, we kept on eating with some minor conversations until it was time to go back. Fast forward to the second night, the last night we would spend there. I was a pro at cards, and that night when we played, I won the large bed in the middle of the room, so my brother had to sleep on a mattress. I had been sleeping great until then, but that night, I woke up. I was drenched in a cold sweat, and the room spun around me. My first thought was I was drunk or drugged, but that was until I saw the only place that wasn't a messed up blur. The window right in front of me. The moon was peering in, and I saw the outline of a person standing outside that window. I knew it was the man. Because we were 6 stories up, no one could stand on a ledge that simply didn't exist out there. I didn't see a face, just the outline of him in the moonlight. But I knew it was him, and for the first time I actually felt threatened by his presence, like he wanted to hurt me. If I would close my eyes, he would be the last thing I saw, I thought. So I sat there having this staring contest with this thing until the sun rose and the moon went back behind the roofs, and with it, the man. As you could realize, this really stressed me out in the end. I couldn't keep my eyes up for more than 5 minutes. But luckily, this was our last day here, and I would be in a car for the next 6 hours. Some rest was indeed needed. The ride home was uneventful, and we were home around 11 p.m. I got to bed almost right away, and when I woke up, the sun was down, but my room wasn't dark. No. It was blue. "Hey, The man that had been haunting me and terrorizing me for the last couple of days stood in my room, but not by the door this time. He was on my bed staring down at me. He was hunched over, staring as if right into my soul. I couldn't move or breathe. I couldn't do anything but stare into those darn eyes. I never experienced sleep paralysis before, but this wasn't far beyond that. It felt like days before the sun peeked over the old barn roof when the man finally decided it was enough and left me to my own fears. I told my mom about this a couple of days after. She's someone who believes in the supernatural and experienced some unexplained things herself. She stopped me after my story and asked a very odd question. Was he tall? Did he have a scar on his left cheek? I was baffled by that question, but simply answered yes, remembering the scar. It crossed his jawline down to his left cheek. Her face turned white, and she swallowed hard before she got up and came back with an old photo album. Her hands wouldn't stop shaking when she searched through it. She showed me a picture of an old man standing by a river. He was wearing a dark suit with far too short arms. Even through the thick fabric, I could see his bones sticking out through the shoulders. And that face, that's a face I could never forget. Pale and tired, with a cold look in his eyes. She said he was her dad, my grandfather, who I had never met. He had killed himself. They found him hanging in the barn by one of the old wooden beams. I don't know what he wants with me. I haven't seen him since that last time in my room, but I know by experience that if a ghost knows you can see them, if you acknowledge and interact with them, they never leave you alone, because they know they can mess with you. I don't feel like he's hanging over my shoulder or anything, but I still wake up sometimes in the middle of the night, staring at my door, waiting to see him standing there, staring back at me, starting this whole thing over again. A Lifetime of Unseen Presences. From Mortal Scorpio 13. I'm no storyteller by any means. I've never done a submission like this before, so please don't judge me too hard. These are all events that happened to me personally, and I swear I'm not crazy. My encounters with the unexplainable didn't start with a bang, but rather with a subtle, chilling whisper of presence that grew over the years. These earlier experiences all took place at my old home in South Carolina. It began back when I was much younger, just a typical teenager. My brother's friend and I had pulled an all-nighter playing Yahoo Pool on the computer. As the sun began to peek through the windows around 6 a.m., we finally decided to call it a night. My brother's friend crashed on the love seat, out cold almost instantly. I, on the other hand, stretched out on the larger couch, pulling a blanket over my face to block out the morning light. I was definitely awake, just trying to drift off, when I heard it, a distinct creaking coming from my bathtub. I know my house inside and out. That tub only creaks when someone is actually in it, shifting their weight around. The creaking stopped, and then something else, something that made the hairs on my arms stand up. It sounded like somebody slowly dragging their bare feet across the floor, all the way from my bathroom to where my TV sat, a good 10 feet, if not more. The dragging sound paused right by the TV, then just as slowly started dragging back towards the bathroom. And then there was complete silence. I was wide awake under that blanket, my heart pounding, trying to comprehend what I had just heard. There was absolutely no one else awake in the house. Years passed and the oddities continued. One evening, the inexplicable became undeniable, and I wasn't alone. I was walking a friend to the side door of my house, which leads out through the kitchen. As we turned the corner into the kitchen, we both froze in our tracks. Standing right in front of my refrigerator, clear as day, was a figure that looked exactly like a person wearing a fedora hat. It wasn't a shadow. It was a defined shape, solid and real. My friend and I simultaneously turned to each other, our eyes wide with shock. In perfect unison, we both blurted out, "Did you just freaking see that?" In the couple of seconds it took for us to look at each other to process the shared disbelief, we snapped our heads back to where the figure had been standing, and it was gone. Completely vanished. After this, another one of my friends came over, and bless his soul, went through my entire house checking every room, every closet, making sure no one had actually broken in. But there was no one. We had both seen it, and then it was just gone. My house, as it turns out, has always had a strange energy. Over the years, there have been several unexplainable events, building a compelling case for something unseen dwelling within its walls. One time, I was in my mom's bedroom, just talking with her. Suddenly, from upstairs in my room, we both heard the unmistakable sound of something heavy being dragged across the floor. It sounded exactly like a clothes basket being pulled. What made it so unsettling was that I had no company over. My little brother was downstairs in his own room, and all the dogs were right there with me and my mom. There was no logical explanation for that sound. Immediately after hearing it, I went upstairs to my room. And sure enough, nothing was moved, and nothing was out of place. It was completely undisturbed. It wasn't just me experiencing things either. My mom has her own unsettling experiences when I'm not home. She's told me multiple times that she frequently hears what she describes as someone jumping off my bed upstairs. It's a distinct, recurring sound she hears when the house should be empty. Perhaps the most compelling evidence I have, the kind that makes even skeptics pause, are the several EVPs, or electronic voice phenomena, I've caught. These particular instances, unlike the others, happened at my dad's house in Ohio. One was entirely by accident. I was recording myself playing the guitar, and at the very end of the video, clear as a bell, you can hear what sounds like a woman saying, "Play it again." Another EVP is even more chilling, because it was a direct response. I specifically asked out loud, "Is there somebody standing beside me?" And immediately, as clear as day, I captured a man's voice saying, "I'm watching you, standing there." Note from the narrator. I've asked Mortal Scorpio 13 to post the audio of these EVPs with their story over at darkstories.org. I'm not sure when or if they'll get back to me, but I'll go ahead and leave a link right to their story in the description so you can check and see. My Haunted House, from Moon MCG. My name is Mary and I'm 37 years old. I'm married to the love of my life, who we can call Kirsty, and we have no children. We do have a small dog, though, who we adore. So 7 years ago, we were finally in a good position financially and decided to purchase our first house together. After looking for a couple of months, we stumbled on an old beautiful 3-bed that we both fell in love with instantly. We made an offer just under asking price and were elated when it was accepted. So we moved in and decorated, replacing the bathroom as it was a bit outdated, and had some work done on the garden. For the first couple of months, nothing happened, and we were just so happy. We didn't have our current dog when we first moved in, but we did have my dog, a golden lab, who I'd brought into the relationship. He was an old boy and struggled getting up the stairs, but apart from that, he also seemed to love the new house, though he did on occasion seem to be watching something in the kitchen that we could not see. So the first thing to happen was our kettle turned itself on. My wife was at work and I was working from home, sitting at the kitchen table on my laptop. Behind me, I heard the distinct sound of the kettle coming to a boil. I remember being absolutely perplexed as I got up to check it out, and I could see that indeed the kettle had been turned on and the little switch had been clicked downwards. I didn't really know what to make of it, But at this point, I wasn't thinking paranormal, I was thinking just a faulty kettle. Other small things began to happen around the house, like we would hear noises from other rooms that we struggled to figure out the cause of. Things would go missing and then turn up in other places. Strange smells would appear. Our dog would get startled for seemingly no reason, and his hackles would go up on his back, a behavior that we hadn't seen him do before moving into the house. Around this time, I began to get a really heavy feeling of dread when in the house. I felt like I was being watched. It still feels like this to this day. Things began to escalate rather quickly, and if I'm being honest, I was beginning to not like the house or being alone in it. I felt like I was in danger. My wife also experienced all of these things, but she was a little bit more relaxed about it. She would say that we have a ghost, but it's nothing to be afraid of, telling me if I feel like someone is there, I should just explain that I'm afraid and ask them to leave. We had been living in the house around 9 months when our dog's knees began to fail, and sadly, he had to be put to rest. It was the kindest thing to do for him. We both took it really hard, and I fell into a depression for a while. That's when the activity in the house became much worse. One evening, we were watching TV in bed, and I heard loud footsteps coming up the stairs. After panicking, we decided to both go and look. I was holding a baseball bat, and my wife had a heavy ornament of some sort. I opened the bedroom door, and I turned the lights on, but no one was inside. We were heading down the stairs to check all the doors were locked, and that we didn't have an intruder when the lights went off on the stairs, though our bedroom light stayed on. We ran downstairs and turned the lights back on. All the doors and windows were still shut, and everything looked normal. After this incident, we got cameras installed throughout the house and an alarm system for the doors and windows. One day, a few weeks later, I was around my brother's house when I got a frantic phone call from my wife, saying that there was a man sitting on our back door steps and he appeared to be whittling wood. I checked the live camera feed on my phone and could see that there was no one on the steps. But my wife was terrified, so my brother and I headed to my house while I kept my wife on the phone. As we pulled into the drive, my wife said the man had just disappeared. Now, at this point, I was ready to sell the house, but my wife was adamant that we wouldn't be run out of our own home, and that the man she had seen was a ghost, and we needed to find a way to live with him. She said he probably just wasn't happy with the changes we had made to the house, and that things would calm down. Things didn't calm down, though. They got much worse. Our bedroom door began to swing open regularly while we were watching TV in the evenings. Lights would turn off, then turn back on. We would hear footsteps on the stairs and little things like that. One day I'd gotten up in the morning and was heading downstairs when I heard a whisper in my ear. While I couldn't make out what was said, I did feel breath right on my skin. This was the final straw, and we decided we needed to get someone to come around and help us with what we were experiencing. We debated about asking a priest, but as we were both not religious, we decided on a medium. We found a woman that came highly recommended and asked her to come to our home to tell us what was going on and also help us to get rid of what was in our house. She came around the following day, and when she walked in the front door, her face changed. She said she could feel a dark presence around me and also stated that there was a spirit still attached to the property. She said the spirit was just lost and meant no harm, but the dark presence that was attached to me was malevolent. This completely terrified me, and I wanted to stay in a hotel, but she informed me that it would probably follow me wherever I went, and it would be best to stay in the house, but to show no fear so as not to feed it. She said that by talking to it in the beginning, we had given it power, and it was feeding off of our fear. She said that she would help us, and so she spoke some prayers and saged the house, and also saged both of us. She gave us some prayers we could say and also told us to get rid of the old grandfather clock that had come with the house, which we did. Everything felt much better when she left, and for a short while, we thought she had gotten rid of the presence, as nothing strange was happening anymore. This changed one evening when I was relaxing in the bath. I put my head under the water to rinse shampoo from my hair, when I felt this pressure on my shoulders and something pressing me underwater completely. I could see that nothing was there as I was being held under the water. I began to thrash around and my wife ran into the bathroom. As she ran in, the pressure disappeared and I flung myself out of the bath, gasping for air and crying. This was one of the scariest experiences of my life, and at this point I knew that whatever was in that house didn't just want to scare us, it wanted to cause serious harm. Also, I had red finger marks on both of my shoulders. We tried to get the medium back around, but all of a sudden she was completely booked, and said in no uncertain terms she wouldn't come back out. We got the feeling she was too scared to come back. We were terrified, and when one of us went into the bath, the other would sit on the toilet from this point forward. We both began to wake up with unexplained scratches and bruises. I would check the cameras, and as always, nothing was there. Though sometimes we could see what looked like a faint cloud of black smoke that would just hang in an area and then disappear. I also witnessed doors opening on the camera a few times. We went to see the priest at our local church, and he agreed to come and bless our home. He came by and did his thing, and everything stopped for a whole year. We got back to being happy and started to put it all behind us. We became comfortable in our home again, and everything was good. In that year, we also attended church on a weekly basis. One evening, we were sitting at the table eating our dinner, when the kitchen door began to bang like someone was kicking it. I could clearly see through the window on the door that no one was there, yet the bottom of the door was bending in where it was being kicked so hard. We actually tried to kick the bottom of the door ourselves to compare, but even with our hardest kicks, we could not get the bottom to bend in like that. We have also both witnessed our solid oak bookshelf, which is built into the floor, vibrate. The dog that we have now is a miniature poodle and the sweetest boy. He will not stay anywhere in the house alone, and I refuse to leave him alone when we're out of the house because I'm afraid of what could happen to him. I actually had to find a new job that I could work from home all hours so that he wouldn't need to be left alone. One evening, a few weeks back, I woke up to him cowering and whimpering under the bed we were sleeping on. I looked at the camera, and as clear as day, I could see him being pushed out of the bed violently. We are now saving up to move, though I fear we may be stuck in this house for a few months at least. I can honestly say living in this house has been terrifying, and I wish we had never moved in. The activity seems to be ramping up since we decided to start saving to move, as if the presence knows we are leaving and wants to do as much harm as possible in the time we have left in the house. I didn't really believe in the paranormal before this house, but now I can say with absolute certainty that it's real. I'm working as much overtime as possible, so we can move sooner rather than later. I feel a bit guilty about selling the house, though, and I've been at conflict with myself whether we should tell any potential buyers about our experience or just keep quiet. New rule: if you send me a story and mention your pets in it, you have to provide the name of those pets. I simply cannot properly visualize the story unless I know your Basset Hound is named Turbo or something. Good night. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Unexplained Encounters. I'm your host, Darkness Prevails, and I want to narrate your stories of the unexplained. Send them to me at darkstories.org. Would love to hear more outdoorsy stuff soon. If you're listening to Unexplained Encounters on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, follow and leave a review or rating so that we can reach more people to scare. Till next time, everyone, stay safe out there and stay creepy. Because this world is a strange one.
Aber was ich noch erzählen wollte, meine Nichte kämpft sich ja ganz schön das Studium. Semesterbeitrag, Laptop, Bücher, Software, Handy, Internet. Ey, so ein Master ist echt teuer.
Ach, sag ihr, sie kann sich das zurückholen.
Ja, du meinst von der Steuer absetzen, ne? Aber sie verdient ja nicht.
Egal. Zauberwort Verlustvortrag. Macht sie ganz einfach mit Wieso Steuer. Und wenn sie dann arbeitet, heißt es Katsching.
Das geht?
Safe. Wieso Steuer.
Hol dir dein Geld zurück.
Jetzt kostenlos ausprobieren.